Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, wrestling fans, why have you been going down on your grandma?
I thought
Layla
died.
Yeah, right,
it was
bad.
The guy looks
like a pedophile.
It's blue.
Willow!
Ah, okay.
He played keep away with his glasses. Literally driving us mad.
Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to another edition of the NXT Review. My name is Sam Brooks, and with me, as always, is Carmen Antonelli.
Yes, and I was caught a little bit off guard by that intro, so how you doing, everybody?
How does it feel?
This isn't the broadcast, though.
It's irrelevant.
It's not how it works. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, it's episode of NXT.
Oh, I've been caught off guard.
I can't.
Ugh, what do you think?
Exactly. Help. Hey, this isn't a sign that NXT was bad. NXT was actually really good this week.
Yeah, we're just kind of losing our shit because that's what we do, apparently.
Fucking talk for half an hour about absolute nonsense and it's like, hey, we have a show to do.
Yeah, fucking singing Goo Goo Dolls, and then 5 minutes later it's like, hello, wrestling fans.
And I don't want to burn. I don't even know.
And I don't want to burn.
Every time I try to sing that song, it turns into Nickelback. Like, and I don't want to burn.
That's pretty fucking accurate. Anyway, NXT, right?
It had, really good.
It had the first match on the card. It was Tyler Breeze versus Mojo Rawley in a squash match.
Before we talk about this match in the little bit of detail that we possibly can, I know you don't like Mojo Rawley, right?
Right.
So you do like Tyler Breeze, though?
No.
You don't like Tyler Breeze?
Yeah, I don't like Tyler Breeze.
Why? Is it his eyes when you look at him?
I'm going to fucking kill you. His theme song is annoying. His gimmick is good, but
I mean, the more I listen to his theme song in a theme song context, like just as it's playing as he's walking to the ring, it's not the worst thing ever.
Tyler,
look, everyone, it's Tyler.
Ooh, ooh,
but I mean, of course, it's a little dumb.
Awesome,
but
right? He's billed from what is it, Finland?
No, he's billed from his seasonal home, which changes location every week.
Okay, because he was billed from Helsinki this week, and I'm like, what kind of fucking Helsinki?
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze.
Yeah. It's like his seasonal home and somewhere in Greece or somewhere in Italy, or now it's in Helsinki for some weird reason.
There's no way he can fucking afford all those fucking houses. Being an NXT wrestler, you're not fucking rolling in it.
Yeah, really. But the match itself was about a minute and a half long.
Because Tyler Breeze, the little guy, squashed Mojo Rawley, the big hype dude.
Via submission?
Not really, though, because basically the match started off with like Breeze just dicking around, not letting Rawley get up all in his grills. And it eventually ended when Tyler Breeze got him in kind of an armbar.
Armbar!
Mojo Rawley, right? He didn't tap out.
But the ref rang the bell.
Yeah, the ref was like, oh, fuck it. He's not going anywhere.
This is bullshit. Just end the match.
Hey! Can I go home?
Ding, ding, the NXT screw job.
You're not? No. Don't.
I'm pushing it.
Don't push bear wrestling over fucking NXT.
I'll push bear wrestling and I'll push the NXT screw job. Because you know Bull Dempsey's behind this.
He's in cahoots with the ref. Shut up, foe. Stop your scheming. Stop your Machiavelli.
Tyler Breeze and Bull Dempsey are in cahoots with the refs.
Fucking speaking of cahoots, we had the backstage segment of the evening. But one backstage segment of the evening. It was the phone segment with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah.
This time.
This segment revolved around Enzo trying to talk to William Regal, trying to get a favor from him. Hey, do me a favor. Don't do me no favors. Just kidding. I actually need a favor. And the favor was for William Regal to observe Carmella at the Performance Center and possibly give her a tryout to join NXT's roster. And
wow.
He walks out towards the rings, sees Carmella making a trainer or a trainee tap out, and he's like, you know what? Bring her back next Thursday.
So
bada boom, she's got a tryout.
Bada boom. She's gonna be on next week, ain't she?
I don't know if she's on the actual show. I thought there was going to be another phone segment because it sounded like that's just her getting a tryout.
That's what I thought. Like, she shows up very imminently, but I can never really tell, like, because if you don't know, NXT is pre-taped in, like, massive chunks. So when you read
up... Yeah, if you can't tell when that My Style Kick sign is still there.
And the people wearing the same shirts for, like, 5 weeks in a row.
I don't notice their shirts, but that stupid black sign with duct tape saying My Style Kick is still there in the front row.
Yeah, that's always there. But like, yeah, basically point being with these tapings, everything, when you read it, it kind of becomes a blur as to when people come and go. But this means Carmella will be debuting either next week or the week after.
Very soon, for
sure. Very soon. And I'm excited.
Yeah, and she was excited when she heard she got a tryout. She went to go hug Cass, who did nothing. And then when Enzo tried to get a hug, she shoved him away.
Yeah, fucking girl trouble.
And the video ends with friggin' Enzo yelling at Cass. He's like, you know what? Go ahead and post it. I always tell you not to, and you always post it anyway. Go ahead. And Cass is like, yeah, I'm posting it.
Yeah.
I love these videos, dude. These guys are the best.
They really are. Like I say, even when they're on TV, like, you gotta make that a weekly segment.
Mm-hmm.
But next, before the next match on the card, we had a very awesome segment for the network that I can't buy!
You know what? This freaking commercial, it's so stupid.
What?
It's like a fever dream.
That's why it's awesome.
It looked so dumb.
No, it's great.
It was like blurry, faded audio shots of like Lesnar and DX, and then things were going in reverse, and then it just goes, and then it just cuts to black, and it's like, I don't even remember. Are you ready? I think is what it said.
I don't know.
In little thin red text on a black screen. It's like, what the fuck was it? What the hell was that?
I liked it.
It was weird.
That's why I liked it,
I guess.
Oh,
I just thought it was stupid.
But hey, anyway.
Because like the marketing for the network is so like one extreme or the other. It's like, oh, get it for $9.99, Michael. Or it's like, are you ready? Oh, what the fuck?
Don't ever speak like that again. That's fine, you fucking creep. So, we have now Hideo Itami, the Kickman, versus Victor.
Victor?
Victor!
Bullshit.
So this is part of the ongoing rivalry. We had a little video package before the match happened, which showed Hideo Itami and Funaki backstage.
Funaki.
Remember Kung Funaki?
Don't talk about Kung Funaki.
I'm talking about Kung Funaki.
No, we don't talk about Kung Funaki.
Fucking talk about it, mate. It's Kung Funaki.
We don't mention... God,
an OP crane kick is OP.
No, the stupid crane kick.
Where he hops is great. It's the Harbinger of Doom, Kung Funaki.
No, Heath Slater's the Harbinger of Doom.
Anyway, there was a backstage segment and Funaki was like, I got your back. And Hideo was like, yeah. And then the match happened. And during it was a weird match because the crowd was practically dead.
And there, I saw one theory as to why that is. And it might be that the crowd got muted on the television broadcast because they might have been screaming some racist shit,
which is absurd,
and it's really hard to think that because this crowd's usually pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, really, like but anyway, the match happened, and towards the end of the match, Connor brings out Funaki with one shoe and a disheveled
brings out a dead Kung Funaki. He's just throwing him around.
Yeah, he's just on the stage and he, like, leaves him there. But still, Itami picks up the win over Victor with a dropkick.
Yeah, it was just a dropkick. That surprised me.
Yeah, not even a finisher.
Maybe it's just, like, anything related to feet can be a finisher in the hands of Hideo.
Like, fuck Punk, alright? Fuck CM Punk. Because his fucking moveset, right? He took that from Kenta. And now Pizza can't use it because fucking CM Punk fucking everywhere.
Well, he's no longer contracted to WWE.
Yeah.
So what the fuck does it matter?
It's exactly, right?
Just let him have most, if not all, of the moveset.
Let him have the go-to-sleeperoo, okay? Let him have that as a finisher.
Make a thing out of it. Like I said, he's not contracted anymore, so go ahead and shit-talk Punk on TV through Hideo Itami.
No, you can't do that, though, because he might be coming back at some point.
Oh, like that's ever gonna fucking happen.
But we're not gonna get into that, because we'd rather talk about the beatdown that happened after the match.
Oh, the best beatdown. Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
It's always a beatdown.
Well, I mean, it is a two-on-one feud.
Yeah, but fucking, you make him look weak every time.
Except for when he won the match.
Yeah, but after the match.
But that's after the match.
It still counts, though.
It's proven that in a one-on-one scenario, he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
I guess.
And even in a couple two-on-one scenarios, he can get away with beating the shit out of them. It's just every once in a while, they catch him.
And put him in the ring ropes and beat up Funaki in front of him.
You know what the best part about this was that made no fucking sense?
What?
When Funaki crawled back into the ring lifelessly and they started beating the shit out of him while Hideo was tied up in the ropes, the ref was right next to Hideo, like, yelling at the Ascension. And I'm just sitting there like, ref, untie him.
Yeah.
Just really quick, just do that and you can fix a lot of this.
Like, the ring ropes aren't fucking running with electric currents. Like, you can just touch them.
Just, you know, untie them.
Just let Hideo go.
Yeah, let him free.
You're all free now.
Like fucking Harper and Rowan.
Oh, don't even, but with that.
The new Harper and Rowan, Victor and Connor.
Oh my god, shut the fuck up, because I'm a dirt sheets.
I don't want that.
I'm a dirt sheets, right? I'm a dirt sheets, they have this rumor, right? But because Luke Harper and Eric Rowan are now set free from Bray Wyatt, as you've seen with the video packages on Raw, they are going to move up the Ascension and put them with Bray Wyatt.
And that's a terrible idea.
No.
We mean no.
No, I don't want that.
Oh, I thought you meant no, it's not a terrible idea.
No, it's the best idea in the world.
No, that's terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
Like, fucking...
It just makes no sense.
Rumors should stay as rumors forever and not have any potential to happen ever.
But what about the rumor that CM Punk's coming back?
Fucking here's your flip. Hell in a Cell promo after that. With Dean Ambrose being all cool and shit.
Yep.
And then...
How you doing?
Introducing... Aid in English. Simon Gotch. The Bored
Villains. What the hell is
that? It's a theme song. It's a plinky plonk piano. It's like...
It sounds like ska music.
No, it doesn't.
It sounds like the
old ska music is like...
Anyway... It was the Vaude Villains versus Enzo and Big Cass. And man, oh man, was Enzo and Cass's promo as they walked out to the ring the highlight of the night.
You're out here, flexing like Arnold.
More like, hey, Arnold, you should have never left the stoop.
Oh!
And not only that.
Went fucking nuts for that line.
They lost their shit, dude. I've never heard an NXT crowd get so loud before.
It's like these guys, every week, they come out. Or they have a video package. And it's the hypest fucking thing in the world.
When Simon Gotch and Aiden English's music hit, the crowd popped, you know?
Yeah.
When Hideo's music hit, the crowd popped. When the Ascension's music hit, the crowd popped, you know? When Enzo and Cass's music hit, there's no word to describe that pop compared to the others.
It's like a pop you'd hear on Raw for someone. Which has like...
In the tiny little NXT crowd.
10 times the amount of people in an NXT arena would have, like...
More than that. It's ridiculous the ovation these guys get week in and week out.
It's like, dude, how do they do it?
Because they are the most charismatic people in NXT, hands down. No questions asked.
Well...
Nope. There's no debating that.
Sami Zayn.
I mean, Sami Zayn's great, but Enzo and Cass have more.
I guess. I'm not fighting it. It's a pretty good statement.
all they need is a little bit more ring work between the two of them, and they're fucking golden.
Speaking about their ring work, we should probably talk about the match that happened.
Yeah.
It was a pretty pretty decent match, all things considered. I mean, nothing was too special about it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was setting up for anything, or if it was just a cool match.
I think it was setting up momentum for the tag team number one contenders battle royal.
There's a battle royal?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. They haven't announced it on TV yet. So there you go. You got a little inside scoop right here from the NXT review.
Oh my god. I believe they mentioned it on commentary, though. Like, well, maybe it's not even a battle royal. It's something to determine the number one contenders for the tag titles.
That was quick.
So, yeah, really.
Can't you just have a match between two people?
No, apparently not. But like, anyway, the Vaude Villains won this match with a pin on Enzo from English after a top turnbuckle move.
It was, yeah, it's their tag team finisher. I don't know if they call it anything yet, but Simon Gotch does like a rollout thing, and then Aiden English does a senton from the top rope.
Yep, yeah. Looks very very effective. But hey, it's another loss for the Hudson River Crossing.
Yeah, but hey, they don't seem to be frictioning yet, so...
Frictioning. Okay.
I don't know.
Fucking okay, Andy making up words now.
Jeez.
It re-galvanized the industry.
Barry! Backstage interview with Sami Zayn.
Yes, talking about his match with Titus O'Neil, which is the main event.
The main event.
And he said he's not worried, because fuck it, Titus O'Neil's been feuding with a bunny, so how bad can it be?
Basically, TLDR on that like interview is like, Titus O'Neil, he's been beaten up by a bunny rabbit, and Adrian Neville, he's my friend.
So there you go.
And I'm done here.
Yeah, I don't really know what Neville had to do with it. It was kind of like he was defending NXT kind of thing.
My friend Adrian Neville.
The guy who constantly makes fun of me and screws me in matches.
My friend Kenny. Becky Lynch, right?
Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks. Now, this is a very important thing because me and Brooks were talking over Facebook as I was watching NXT, and we got to a point where it was like 3/4 of the way through the show and no one had mentioned a Divas match. And all of a sudden I realized that and I'm like, wait a minute, wait the fuck a minute. Are we going to get a Divas match or not? I like wanted one. And then they announced Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks and I kind of marked out.
Yeah, really, because this match, right, it was very, very good. Becky Lynch, kind of like Lita, I realized.
Yeah, it's like it's not quite like Lita,
no,
but it's closer to Lita than anything else.
If Lita was more powerhouse as opposed to high flyer, it would be Becky Lynch.
There you go.
And Sasha Banks is just Sasha Banks.
The boss.
Boss.
So good. Both of these guys or girls are so good.
Both them gals. They're crackers. But it was a decent match. Had some pretty good mat wrestling at the start. Had some pretty good offense from both sides. But Sasha Banks picked up a win with the bank statement.
The bank statement. I love that name.
She hit a backstabber and fucking went right into the chokehold submission move. And it was
amazing. It's a backstabber float over into a crossface type of thing, and it's so good.
It's so good. The bank statement.
Bank statement.
It's funny because Sasha Banks statement.
The Sasha statement. And then I think that leads right into the main event, does it not?
Yeah, go straight, dive right into Titus O'Neil versus Sami Zayn.
We forgot to mention this is the gold pool.
The gold pool, hardfish.
Titus O'Neil versus Sami Zayn. This match felt like Shadow of the Colossus.
Fucking yeah. Like, Titus O'Neil is pretty big.
Pretty big guy.
Pretty big dude. That's why I call him Titus O'Zilla. And Sami Zayn,
not the biggest guy.
Oh. He's like,
and it's not. Titus didn't just look big because he was going up against Zayn. Titus looks big against a lot of people.
Because he's fucking big.
And when you put him against Sami Zayn, it really shows.
Like, I'm so glad that this is basically the title picture that we have here.
Yes.
Because Tyson Kidd, gone forever, thank God. Tyler Breeze, gone for now, thank God.
Well.
Well, he is. He's all tied up with Mojo.
Well, I mean, like, you said good. That's the debatable part.
Oh, well, screw you. But anyway, I like the fact that Titus O'Neil was in the title picture.
Yeah, I mean, He fits in.
Capable athlete.
People forget, and he's good. And yet, people were chanting during the match, Darren's better.
Were they actually chanting that?
Yes.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Dude, I don't care. That's great. That's a great chant.
It's funny because it's true. But anyway,
And they also were chanting soft!
Soft! Right. It had nothing to do with anything, but chanting it anyway.
And we forgot to mention, during the Enzo Cass versus Wild Villains match, they were chanting, Stoop Kid's Afraid to Leave His Stoop! Can I just say I love this crowd when they're not being racist?
When they're not assholes, they're actually pretty decent.
They're either the worst or the best.
Most of the time, they're nothing. But anyway, some pretty sick chest chops from Sami Zayn to Titus.
Yeah, really loud, like chest chops. Freaking nuts. And the whole match, Titus O'Neil was imposing his strength and power and size on Sami Zayn.
Too strong for Zayn.
Every time Zayn got a little bit of offense, Titus would just fucking shut it down. There was a point where, you know, one of Sami Zayn's, I think it's one of his finishers, where he, like, grabs your hand, like, old school, and then goes up to the top rope and does a Hurricane Rana.
Oh, yeah.
There was a point where he got Titus's hand and started running towards the corner. Titus just fucking clotheslined the shit out of him.
Like, he was.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
So, like, just a one-sided match, but with the Sami Zayn character, it just fucking worked so well.
How did it end?
It ended when Sami Zayn once again got a hold of Titus's hands, ran up towards the corner, and got shoved back so that he landed on his nuts on the top rope. And when he kind of repositioned himself and was standing on the second rope, Titus just grabs him, lifts him up, and slams him on the ground for the Clash of the Titus and gets the pin.
Effective finish. Really making a statement.
Fucking really good match.
But then after the match.
After the match, Titus set Sami Zayn up on the apron, went up to the top rope.
You remember that. It's all on you.
Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. I guess he was going to go for a leg drop and try and decapitate Zayn, but then Neville comes out and saves the day.
Trumpets?
I don't know what the fuck Neville is anymore. Is he a good guy still?
Bring on the trumpets. Bring on the trumpets. Bring on the trumpets. Bring on the trumpets. Ha 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 ha. Trumpets.
But Adrian Neville
comes out and makes a save by pulling him out and being like, hey, friend, you might need to slow down a little bit.
Hey, we're still friends, right? I don't know anymore.
I'm fucking creative help.
Because after TakeOver 2, it looked like he was getting ready to turn heel, right?
Yeah, I think everyone thought that, but now it's just a will-they-won't-they type scenario.
It's, whatever.
Whatever, still good athletes, so that's what counts.
Still a good show. Very good episode of NXT overall.
Very entertaining.
I can't wait till next week, when there's probably going to be more Hideo versus Ascension.
Baron fucking Corbin.
Baron fucking Corbin wasn't here this week.
He will be there next week, probably, though.
Hopefully. Hopefully we got more Enzo and Cass stuff.
Yeah, it'll be great.
It'll be great. Everything's great. NXT's great. Go watch it.
Yeah, really. It's an hour. You have time for an hour. An hour. What do you do with that time? You know, like,
that's the best part about the show. It's so good, and it takes up no time.
Yeah, really. Like, an hour, like, fucking, what, cook dinner, have a quick bath? I don't fucking know. Do that, but watch NXT, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Yeah, really. So, that has been NXT Review. Very good show this week. I have been Brooks.
I've been Carmine Antonelli.
And we will see you next week.
On the Gold Pool.
Golden Pool of Gold.
How you doing?
What the fuck was that?